I feel like I can do it all. You know, I did so much when I was at Buffalo, whether if it was, you know, catching deep balls or, you know, lead blocking through the C gap. I mean, I feel like I'm very versatile and can, you know, play any type of game that need to be played, whichever week.
Here's Allen, taking to the right, going to the end zone. And who else? Gabe Davis with the touchdown catch on the opening drive.
You know, I think it's going to go very well. And, you know, I plan to have a long career. You know, I think I got a good 5 or 6 more years in me. So I don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
I done did it before, going to teams that didn't really have it all the way together. Then, like, early years, a new head coach and stuff. You got to deal with just that early year. But, like, I know this team, you know, is moving forward, moving up.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy first day of the NCAA tournament, at least the first day I care to count, Tony Smith. I don't count the play-in games, you know, and we're here, and I've watched maybe 40 minutes of college basketball. That's like one whole game combined for the whole year, put it all together, and I feel like I have just as much opportunity to win the office pool as anybody who's paid attention.
Yeah, I've watched less than that.
Have you?
Yeah, and I've done that the last 2 years and almost won.
I've watched cumulatively about 40 actual game minutes of St. John's this year. That's okay. What I took in, and that was it. And saw him beat Creighton. I got Creighton going to the Final Four.
There you go. It made an impact on you.
I didn't watch him, though, Tony. So I did come in a few minutes ago, you know, a little pregame restroom break. You want to be, you know, get the pit stop in. I walk in, and Pockets is out there pawing my bracket.
Don't do that.
He's pawing my bracket. What are you doing pawing my bracket, Pockets?
Well, you didn't have a final score for the tiebreaker.
How would you know that
Molly
if you weren't
McDonald,
pawing my bracket, huh?
Well, Molly McDonald gave me your bracket, and she's like, can you give this to Mike?
I was like, yeah. Seems like, you know, you better not have, like, Grand Canyon winning in the first round or anything.
I do.
I'm not going to believe that you know why? Copy that straight from
I can't say I was a witness to the whole process in the room, and Pockets is telling the truth.
Man, Tony, you're too honest above board. Well, can't get a radio bit by this guy, Pockets, to save your life, man. Come on. Unbelievable. All right, Pockets, you already do your bracket last night with Hacker?
I did it Monday, homie.
Oh, you did it Monday?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I've never once in my life filled out a bracket on Monday. Not that I could tell you who won the play-in games, because I don't know. But
every year I swear I'm going to study, you know? Never do. The most studying I used to ever do is when, you know, before the internet, we had the USA Today had one special section with, like, a capsule on every team. And that's all you knew about that team, basically. Yeah. Oh, I could see the size of their starting lineup and what their three-point percentage was. Yeah, you know, like, I have no idea, you know. And anyway, we'll go through some of our picks later.
And even with all that being said, look, I haven't watched any college basketball this year.
No,
I generally
don't. My
picks
are garbage.
I will be, from the moment I get home until I go to bed, college basketball is going to be on my TV.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, I'll watch it all.
Right. It's not like I'm not going to watch the tournament. It's just I have no information going into the tournament about how good any of these teams are beyond how they're listed on this bracket.
But I truly feel filling out the bracket gives you that interest, right? Like, if I don't fill out the bracket, then I'm going to watch and I'm going to be like, okay, if there's a big upset, I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
But if it's on, if I wrote it down in pen 2 minutes before that game tipped off, all of a sudden I am mortally invested in
that. I mean,
that.
You and I both know, during an NFL Sunday, there is no play that happens in a regular season NFL game that I don't have some interest somewhere.
Pretty much.
Right? On what's happening with the offensive player or the defensive player. Something somewhere is affecting a matchup that I'm in. It gives me interest in everything that's happening. Filling out a bracket for the NCAA tournament, I have interest in the outcome of all these games because I've picked the outcome of all of these games, even if it is without any knowledge whatsoever.
Yeah, never went 16-0 on day one. I went 15-1 once, and I keep bringing that up every year when I ultimately go 10-6, and that's fine. Whatever, man. I don't care. You know what? I hope you have a great
time.
Great tournament. I hope you did the 1010XL Bracket Challenge, which is still available at 1010XL.com. Get on there until noon and put your – selections in there. All right, today we got Demetrius Harvey stopping by. We will talk a variety of Jaguar issues with Demetrius. We'll talk wide receiver today a little bit, Tony. And not that we haven't been doing that yesterday with the Brandon Ayuk question out there. And it finished right around the lines it was going towards all throughout the show yesterday in terms of percentage. We asked you, would you be willing to give up the 17th pick for Brandon Ayuk, basically knowing he's going to want a top-of-the-market type contract? And 37.7% said, yeah, I'll do it even with the money you're going to have to spend. You're going to have to spend like he's a top free agent and give up your first-round pick, at least according to the report Mia O'Brien had out there in terms of that's what the asking price was at a certain point in time for the San Francisco 49ers. These things can change.
Yeah. If that wasn't the asking price and San Francisco was looking to trade him, I think it'd be done. Right? Like, that's the way it feels. Like, if you really
possibly
could get Ayuk for a second-round draft pick, I think somebody would have pulled the trigger on that already if San Francisco is willing to give him up for that kind of cost.
Right, and that's the thing. You might not have the highest second-round pick that of a team that's interested in getting him, but I wonder, Tone, like, if the draft goes along, and, you know, you've been talking, and there's maybe some structure in place ahead of time for this, but if you've got a guy who's available at 17, let's say Brian Thomas is the clear-cut fourth best receiver in this class, and the top three all go in the top 10. So Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is sitting there at 17, and so is every other wide receiver. Would that make San Francisco more likely to do a pick swap at that point because they get their choice? Or,
would be, yeah.
Or would it be more likely that they go, well, only the top three are gone? Somebody we like is probably going to fall to us at 31. Might actually make the Jags less likely to do it because they know exactly what they're getting with that selection potentially if they want to go that way. That's part of what we're asking today. By the way, 840 votes on that yesterday, 62% going, no, I will not pay the draft pick and the contract for Brandon Ayuk. So that's where we're at on that. Today we're asking you if the Jags are going to add another wide receiver. And I do believe they will add another wide receiver at some point. They clearly had the intent. They told Gabe Davis that they intended to sign Calvin Ridley even after signing Gabe Davis. So
yes,
and I believe, Tony, if they were going to give Calvin Ridley the 20-ish million, you got to look at him as the number one receiver on this team. I know statistically he was, but Christian Kirk got hurt last year. You can call him the 1A, the 1B. That would make Gabe Davis the 3 on this football team. And if that's the case, do all of a sudden you feel that drastically different about it if you're the Jags, that Kirk can be your 1, Davis can be your 2, Zay can be your 3? I know they've gone down a similar road just a couple of years ago, but we're trying to give Trevor Lawrence as much firepower as he could possibly have.
There was at least mutual interest. Like, the Jags at least showed some interest in being willing to trade for Ayuk, even if it wasn't at the price that it sounds like it's going to be.
And a ton of interest in Ridley.
Right. Like, they have interest in adding a wide receiver that could top the depth chart for him the moment that he gets here.
So, with that being the case, we asked today if the Jags are going to add another wide receiver this offseason, how do you think they'll acquire that player? Will it be via trade? That would likely be a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they're trading for a lesser-type wide receiver. And maybe some other wide receiver one becomes available that we're not anticipating right now. But it would be something like that.
Yeah.
Do they use the 17th pick in the draft? Or we just put first-round pick. Maybe they trade down and still go the wide receiver route. That's certainly a possibility. Is it the second-round pick, currently 48th? Or is it some other avenue? Maybe it is a lesser free agent, right? When the compensation window closes on compensatory draft picks and signings impacting your ability to pick them up next year, maybe they do pick up a vet because they strike out in the draft or it just never lines up with the value in the pick. So is it a later pick, meaning third round or on, or a free agent? Kind of, I wouldn't say an afterthought, but certainly not a guy you necessarily think is going to come in day one and be a starter for this football team, which you would anticipate. Even a second-round pick has got to be one of the top three guys, I would think, immediately on this roster. And that would be the curious thing if you go in the second round. Is Zay Jones still around on this football team?
Yeah.
You know, quite possibly, but maybe not. Over 330 votes on that so far. So if they do go wide receiver, is it via trade, first-round pick, second-round pick, or something else, being a later pick or yet another free agent pickup? We'll hear from Gabe Davis coming up, Tony, as he met with the media via Zoom, and we'll hear some more thoughts from him about the team that the Jacksonville Jaguars are putting together here and what drew him to come play in Jacksonville. Obviously, we've heard a little bit from Zay already, but we'll hear I'm sorry, not Zay, but Gabe Davis, but we'll hear more. I guess I have, it's kind of in my head that they're sort of that similar guy, you know, but the investment they made in Gabe Davis indicates they expect more out of him, you know, and, you know, that happens sometimes. I think Zay gave you more than most people anticipated, certainly than I anticipated his first year, and I think that's what they're looking at. They're just not looking at necessarily plugging in Gabe Davis's numbers and saying that's worth $13 million. If he gets more opportunity, gets more targets, how much can those numbers potentially grow this year? So we'll get into that coming up. We've got Demetrius Harvey coming along. We'll go through at least the top portion of our bracket. I don't think you want to hear all 63 selections that we've made throughout the course, but who knows? Maybe we'll rip through it quickly a little bit later on. If you want to be a part of the Jaguar conversation today, 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or hit us up on social media at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
All right, we'll come back. Gabe Davis, Jaguar wide receiver, some of his thoughts on joining this team and where this franchise is headed. That's straight ahead. Don't forget, you can hit us up in the YouTube chat as well as all those previously mentioned outlets. Demetrius Harvey, less than 30 minutes away from the Florida Times Union, talking Jags with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, got a little three-round mock from Chris Trapasso over at CBS Sports Zone. If you are a fan of the Big Uglies, you will love what he's got the Jacksonville Jaguars doing in the first three rounds. We'll get to that coming up. And, you know, talking about one guy, Terrence, keeps not our Terrence, but another Terrence is tweeting me. He's done this several times in the last few days. Balky doesn't draft receivers in round one. Well, that's been his history, right? And sometimes you can rely on that. But different, like, I don't think you can take it off the board for the Jaguars in round one. I mean, obviously, they've gone after wide receiver pretty heavily this offseason. And just because he's only done it, I think, once. Well, he's done it once, right? And, you know, this is a different circumstance. And I would agree with, you know, sometimes you can find track records. Certain GMs prefer to draft, you know, in the trenches or whatever, or the, quote, premium positions, although wide receivers becoming that in the modern NFL.
No doubt.
A little bit. So I get it. You know, the track record is that he rarely does it, but I don't think that, if you sit there and you take that to be gospel that he won't do it, I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't either.
I think, look, they're...
And I also wouldn't take it if they don't draft a wide receiver in the first round. That's
because
further
he does
evidence.
That, right, that is like, a philosophy.
Like, that's you reading it the way you want to read it.
Right, he may not have any wide receiver after the top three graded near the linemen and corners and whatever that there's going to be available in the middle of the round. So we'll see how that all plays out. But you're right. I mean, it just might be a case where, and look, it could be that he's not opposed to drafting a wide receiver in the first round, but if you really feel like everyone's saying there are like maybe as many as 15 draftable in the first two rounds of this year's NFL draft, that there's going to be some pretty good value there. If you feel like there's, you know, there's no walk-in, and I'm not saying this is the case, but if you feel maybe that there's no walk-in guy who could compete, let's say, to improve your offensive tackle position, that you might as well wait to the fourth round if you're not getting one in round one. Then you might be more inclined to take one of those guys in round one if you feel like you know, the overall value is up there. So anyway, let's get into a little Gabe Davis right here. He spoke with somebody over at Jaguars.com who was off screen. So these are Gabe Davis is part of a sit-down. We encourage you to go to Jaguars.com always and check out their content in-house with Gabe Davis meeting with the media, along with a number of other Jaguars last week. Had a little bit more of the spotlight to himself, and you've probably heard him talk about some of these subjects in recent days. In fact, on our show, we played you some of his comments last week when we were at Players. But why did he choose Jacksonville in free agency? Here's Gabe Davis in his words.
Obviously, it's a great team. I love Doug Peterson. I heard a lot of great things about him, his philosophy and everything. And then I got some history with some coaches here. Chad Hall, he was my coach for 3 years in Buffalo. You know, he's family, love him to death. And then obviously, you know, the playmakers that they have on offense and defense. I mean, this is a great team. I wanted to come back home, be close to my family so they can come and watch and also be a part of, again, you know, a team that's going to be real special this year.
Let's hope.
Yeah, right. I mean, he pretty much checked every box right there, right, without naming the roster by name.
Mm-hmm.
You do kind of forget sometimes. You get a guy who grew up in Florida, went to college in Florida, and gets drafted to play in Buffalo, New York. Well, it's fantastic, right? Got a great opportunity. It was a good team, but different things mean different things to players. Playing in the state of Florida, playing in warm weather, but particularly in the state close to his family. Mm-hmm. He said when he saw he was getting interest from a Florida team, he celebrated, basically. You know, and I get the sense, Tony, he would have been happy to consider any of the Florida teams. And quite frankly, look, the Bucs and the Dolphins were playoff teams last year, so why wouldn't you consider those teams right now?
Yeah, but, you know, Jacksonville, if Orlando is where you're working, Jacksonville is as easy a commute as you could possibly have.
Oh, no doubt.
Right, from that area of the state. So, yeah, you can understand why he'd be excited that it was 904 ringing on the phone as
he
expressed when
he
saw
it. I mean, like, as the third, really, what a great spot it would be for anybody, but behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But here, he gets a chance to be, and we don't know if Miami had any interest in him. Now they're said to be taking a look at OBJ.
Yeah.
As, you know, kind of a veteran third guy, because it kind of fell off the cliff after those top two players. Pretty good top two now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're glad to have Gabe here.
No doubt. Gabe Davis also said, you know, he's been asked this question several times. Every time he gets in front of a microphone right now, he's being asked this. But asked again this week, what kind of player are the Jacksonville Jaguars getting?
They're going to get everything I got. Talk a little bit about myself. I mean, I was back-to-back hardest worker at Buffalo Bills. That's what I got voted on. I was the team captain by 24. That's what I plan to be here, and that's what I plan to bring is leadership and hard work. You know, I feel like talent is talent, but that ain't gonna get you where you want to go. So just bring that intensity and bring that intent, you know, when it comes to being here.
Look, I definitely think you can have a bad locker room, right? And it can impact you negatively. And I don't think having a good, quote unquote, good locker room is a guarantee of anything. But I like the fact that he was voted the hardest worker on the Buffalo Bills a couple of times. I like the fact that he was a team captain that young in his career, Tony, with some big-name players on that roster. Now, don't kid yourself, right? Yeah. They're not voting, at least I would imagine, they're not voting Stephon Diggs, right? Has Stephon Diggs been a captain with the Buffalo Bills? I would bet maybe initially, like that first year, because you want everything to be happy, and we just signed this guy and gave him all this money, and he's going to be the face of that receiver room, but I don't know. Coming here, I don't know if Gabe Davis will be a captain, but apparently he's going to be a guy who works hard enough to get everything he can out of his talent. And one thing he's excited to do is work with the quarterback, going from Josh Allen now to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, no, really excited. Trevor don't know this. Probably back when I was in high school, I was in Atlanta at a Nike Spark camp, and we was doing like one-on-ones and stuff, and I don't know if they got clips of it or what. I was a nobody, so it don't matter anyway, you know, but I was catching some balls from him doing the one-on-ones and stuff. He probably don't even remember that, but it's crazy how things go like full circle. But I heard, and these are all things that I heard, you know, obviously I haven't been around him yet, but great leader, super chill guy, wants to work, wants to win, and that's the first thing you need in a quarterback is that leadership, and I heard that he has that, and can't wait to, you know, get together with him, learn more about him, and, you know, be around for the next couple of years.
It is kind of funny, right? Mm-hmm. You're in high school together at one of myriad all-star type camps that you're going to. You catch a few balls from this guy who's a hotshot prospect headed to Clemson, and, you know, however many, 8 years later.
Yeah.
We're going to pay you $13 million a year to continue to catch those passes.
And just clarifying the team captain thing, he was one of 9 team captains selected in Buffalo last year, along with Stephon Diggs.
Oh, he was. He did get it, too. All right.
Gabe Davis was the only first-time team captain selected by the team last year in Buffalo.
Hey, still, that's a young guy to be named a team captain, even though they have 9. 9 seems like a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
I guess I should have assumed Stephon Diggs is going to be a captain. Although, you know, I'll be fair here. I do read these stories where his teammates say, oh, he's a great teammate.
Yeah.
Right. So all we see is the outside and what he wants us to see and all that. But I'm sure we would have had some kind of cryptic tweet referring to the captaincy had he not been named one. So my mistake.
As we talked about last year when the team captains in Jacksonville were selected, Josh Allen was not a team captain.
That's right.
You know, like that just, he had been a team captain before last year, but was not selected as a team captain last year for whatever that's worth. One more here from Gabe Davis, who talked about the relationship he already has with wide receivers coach Chad Hall. You heard him mention that. And offensive lineman Mitch Morse joining Jacksonville.
Yeah, Chad, man, he's a family man. You know, he loves everybody. He's genuine about everything that he does. He doesn't care if you're on his team or somewhere else. He's always rooting for you. Great coach, you know, taught me a lot, you know, having a family and being a man. That's what I respect most about Chad. You know, he loves his family. Family first before everybody, before anything. And then Mitch Morris is a freak. Vet guy, leader. He's a brother. I love him. You know, had him with me in Buffalo for 4 years, and to be able to have some familiar faces around the facility is always big.
Hey, I love that, you know, that guy. You know, and talked about leadership right away with Mitch Morse. I mean, look, again, nobody suggested they signed a top five center in free agency, but did they sign a significant upgrade that gets them to the middle of the pack? At least that's a significant improvement for their team. You can't have the best. You're not going to have the best at every position. You'd like to if you possibly can. That, to me, I care more about that than he could say 500 more words about Chad Hall, Tony. Yeah. You know, and that's great. I don't get the sense that Chad Hall was the determining factor. I think it's a nice bonus. Hey, here's a guy I work with, comfortable working with him. That makes it an easy sell for me. I don't get the sense if Chad Hall weren't here that Gabe Davis would not have taken that money.
Yeah, I don't think that was the difference maker.
But, no. But
it's nice to have it.
Right, it's nice. And the wide receivers we had here last year talked about how much they enjoyed working with Chad Hall.
Yeah.
So let's get some good results out of him this year. All right. So anyway, go check out the entirety of that one-on-one sit-down with Gabe Davis. It's available at Jaguars.com. And make sure you do. We've got Demetrius Harvey coming up from the Florida Times Union. Next, Big Meech is kind of, based on his reporting, settling into where he thinks the Jags might go with the 17th pick, barring any surprises between now and next month's NFL draft. It is coming up next month. We're just about a month away right now. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. Your question of the day today, asking you if the Jags are going to add another receiver to this team. How does that player arrive? Is it via trade, first-round pick, second-round pick, or something else, being a later pick or a free agent signing, a street free agent at this point in time that is still out there and available? You can cast your vote at MD_1010XL on Twitter or X, whatever you're going with. Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union joins us next, talking Jaguar football with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, time to talk with Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union here on Jaguars today. Catch up on all the things that have been going down. Tony, we heard that with the Florida Gators doing their pro day today, that Ricky Pearsall has opted not to work out today. Not injury related, as far as we know.
Not as far as we know.
Yeah. Maybe
he's not working out. Letting the combine workout do its thing.
Right, yeah. Right. Standing on his numbers, whatever
he
the case.
He was excellent up there.
He was. That Trent Baalke was going to be in attendance today in Gainesville, and that decided when he found out Ricky Pearsall was not working out, he didn't need to go personally.
Yep.
And sometimes the GM likes to be there for one specific guy. Not that Florida wouldn't have multiple draftable players, but if that's the case, is that an indication that the Jags are looking more in the second round for a wide receiver? Because Pearsall, although I've seen him mocked as high as 32nd. Mm-hmm. I saw a mock just recently that had him go into the Kansas City Chiefs. Just another piece of data.
Sure.
To add to the collection. Say hello to Demetrius Harvey. Good morning, Demetrius. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I'm doing well. I love this time of year. I really do.
Why do you love it? Are you being at all facetious? Because, you know, rumors do fly and we get caught up in the latest everything for about 48 hours and we move on to the next shiny object, you know, but that's no different, I feel like, than modern American society any given day.
No, it's great. It's great. It honestly is. I think that draft season brings out a lot of different opinions. You know, people will pull from each other, they'll pull from themselves, and then, you know, a consensus is normally made. So it's always interesting to see, like, how, you know, how people change their views as the weeks go on.
Hey, give me a thought on Ricky Pearsall. You've followed Florida very closely. Obviously, you know what the Jags' needs are. How do you think he would fit here?
Yeah, you know, I like him as just like a normal slot receiver, outside receiver. I think he can do both, and I think he did do both last year. You know, I don't follow the Gators as closely as I used to, obviously. But, you know, he's a guy that's shifty. I think that the speed is real, and I think he showed that at the combine, too. You know, he has some size. I saw someone compare him to Christian Kirk. I think he's about 3 or 4 inches taller than him. To me, he's a guy that can play outside. Now, is he necessarily going to be your dominant guy that you think of? I don't think so. But, I mean, how are you finding one of those guys in the middle of round two anyway? So, yeah, I think that he would be a solid option in the second round if you're going that route. I think he's a very reliable wide receiver, and that's what they need.
How has what the Jags have done in free agency affected what you expect them to do in the draft next month?
It hasn't. It's kind of weird because, I mean, as you're going through it, until they had Eric Armstead kind of under the fold, I was thinking defensive line, it would have to be, you know, that route, because otherwise you're kind of sitting there with a lot of holes and a lot of question marks. But, you know, once I got Eric Armstead, I kind of shifted my focus back to cornerback or wide receiver. I've kind of changed my mind, and that's sort of what I was talking about earlier, where people change their minds all the time. I'm the same way. I change my mind from wide receiver and cornerback almost every other day, but those are the two spots, and I think I can't be moved off of that at this point.
It does seem like wide receiver is very deep. You know, we pointed out, somebody has mentioned to us several times that you know, Balky doesn't draft wide receivers in the first round, and typically he hasn't for the most part, but it could just be a case maybe he doesn't do that, and it's not necessarily philosophical, Demetrius. It could just be like, hey, you got to look at this thing as a whole, and if we can get a Pearsall or name the guy that you like at 48, there may only be so many corners you think can walk into this building and start right away.
Yeah, and I really do think that that's the case, where it's not necessarily – it would be kind of wild to think that a GM would just say, you know, wide receiver is absolutely not a first-round pick for me. I think that it's more so – he decided to have the opportunities to take one. I mean, he took a couple good defensive linemen in the first round during his time in San Francisco. He got burned that one time when he did take a wide receiver. I believe it's the kid out of Jacksonville, actually. He got burned, but that doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden going to stop taking any sort of receiver. So to me, I think it's more about, like you said, positional flexibility, where, yeah, you can probably find a pretty good wide receiver in round two or three, whereas cornerback, it usually feels like it's a little bit harder to find that shutdown number one corner outside of the first, you know, couple of rounds. So I do understand if you want to get your corner round one and then kind of double back to wide receiver later, that would make sense to me.
With corner circled to some degree, at least, at 17 here for the Jags in the first round, how would you rank the top corners in this year's draft class for the Jaguars and what they might be looking for at that position?
Yeah, I think that Quinyon Mitchell is probably the top guy for me, just because of his speed, his ability to take the football away, his ability in man. I think that he's able to do the things that you need thanks to his size and all the other things. You know, he's probably my top guy. Terry Arnold's the next one, where I feel like he's a technician. He's very, you know, very sound in terms of his technique. He's able to sort of, you know, turn his hips really well. He seems like a perfect, you know, fit for a plug and play guy who's probably has the highest floor, in my opinion, of any corner in this draft. And I'm no draftnik or anything like that. I just look at it and call it like I see it. And you know, Nate Wiggins to me is just a little too small. I just wouldn't do it. He's 177. I just couldn't. And he has 30-inch arms. To me, that's just not a corner that would fit in this style of defense. Press, you know, you're playing physical. You know, I just can't see it. So, you know, him and then Kool-Aid would probably be above Nate Wiggins for me. And so, you know, those are probably my top four. Obviously, Cooper DeJean is a guy that a lot of people love. I haven't really watched him as much, but, you know, obviously he's athletic. I'm kind of confused on why he doesn't have a position locked down because outside corner seems like a perfect spot for him. But like I said, I haven't watched him too much, so maybe I just need to keep doing that.
Yeah, they say he can play inside and outside, and maybe that he feels that just adds to his versatility, you know, yeah. Instead of pigeonholing himself. Kool-Aid worries me because he's got to have the foot surgery, you mm-hmm. know, and just, man, I know he already ran at Bama's Pro Day, and he did fairly well and all mm-hmm. that, so it can't be mm-hmm. that bad, but I don't know, Demetrius. I can't be taking a guy who's got impending foot surgery with the 17th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, last year, Jags kind of stood pat, right? And part of that was didn't have the cap space, like their team thought they'd get some internal improvement, but a lot of people thought, oh, Balky sat on his hands, didn't mm-hmm. do enough, you know, honestly, no matter what you think about him, can we all agree he's not trying to fail, right? He wants to succeed. He wants to win, right? So it does seem – and now his track record is what it is, and you can pick it apart if you like, but I don't think he's purposely trying to, you know, submarine this team in any fashion. So this year mm-hmm. he turns around. He has not a ton of cap space, Demetrius, and, you know, he signs Gabe Davis, and immediately you might think, oh, that means Calvin Ridley's out, and then we immediately hear, no, he's not. He's still in play. He's got a plan here. He signed all these five guys. We're still going to get Calvin Ridley potentially. And then I know you've been reporting on this. They were not – it was not Calvin Ridley or Armstead. And you look at the Armstead cap hit, it's only $4.5 million this year. He had a plan to get all that happening, right? So do you feel like there's some of this, like, we're going to push every resource in this season? Like, I feel like Trent Baalke's got decent job security, right? Because you look at the guy who's got the final say on that, and he's been incredibly patient – with GMs, but do you feel like maybe they're feeling the pressure to, you know, take advantage of the last year of Trevor Lawrence on a cost-controlled type situation and all that, or is this just normal operating procedure this offseason?
I think there's some pressure. I think that what ended up happening, this is sort of a revision of his previous moves. I think, you know, this year, you know, you replace Rayshon with Savage, or, you know, in some way, mm-hmm. shape, or yep. form, right? And then you replace, you know, Roy Robertson Harris to a degree with Eric Armstead, and then you go ahead and replace, you know, to a degree again, Darius Williams with Ronald Darby, and then, you know, you bring in Ezra Cleveland, you basically retain him, and then you sort of do another revision on Zay Jones, and you bring in Gabe Davis. To me, that's how it all points out, in my opinion, and I think that what sort of happened was, yes, they have that sort of pressure to, you know, make this work, get this going. And I think that they sort of admitted, you know, without admitting literally, but they admitted their mistakes, and sort of the players that aren't doing well, the players that do need to be replaced are being replaced. And I think that last year they didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep everybody together. They didn't want to cut Rayshon Jenkins when they had a chance. They didn't want to cut Darius Williams when everyone thought, you know, maybe it was a 1 year and done sort of situation with him. They didn't want to move on from, you know, all these other guys, and they re-signed and extended Roy Robertson Harris. So, you know, last year was more of them wanting to sort of stand pat because they thought, and I do think it was a misstep, but it's easy to say that now in hindsight, they thought that that was the team that was going to take them to the next level, and all they needed to do was draft and sort of replenish that way. But yeah, this year I think that they have, you know, more cap space. They were pretty cap, it was pretty, you know, reasonable in terms of their cap space this year. They didn't have to make too many moves. I think that this year was more about, you know, them sort of retooling. I wouldn't say rebuilding, obviously, but they're retooling their, you know, 2021 free agency group, you know, their 2020 free agency group to a degree. And so there you go. I thought that, you know, obviously they had to move on from the guys that they did. Foley Fadakasi just wasn't the player they thought he was going to be. And so it was more about just admitting their mistakes, replenishing, and then moving forward with, yeah, you know, with Trevor Lawrence without his contract, that probably won't come until the fall. That's sort of where they had to go.
To go towards this discussion about how much more aggressive they've been willing to be in this offseason, especially compared to last year, we know Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, these are top of the depth chart wide receivers that may be available via trade right now for the football team. They would obviously have to sign them to a long-term deal if they were willing to make that trade. What do you think the Jaguars should be willing to trade to get a hold of either one of those guys to put them at the top of their mm-hmm. depth chart?
Yeah, I would send the 17 pick for IU and pay him the money today. I mean, I understand why people might be a little hesitant simply because, you know, you have to pay all that money, then you're going to have to pay Josh, and you have to pay Trevor, and you have to do all this stuff. But, I mean, to me, I don't really care, because I think that their cap situation is fine, and I think that they have moves that they can make. They can release players, they can do different things in order to make it work in the future, because I don't think that necessarily they have, you know, this group of 10 to 12 players that you have to retain over the next 3 or 4 years. So I do think that, you know, sending the first for Brandon Ayuk would make sense. As far as T. Higgins, I don't know if a first makes sense for him, just because of the last couple of years, or maybe just last year. But him too, you know, I would definitely be aggressive in trying to acquire one of those guys who can be a true number one wide receiver for Trevor Lawrence, because I do think that that's probably their most important need here this offseason. But they're not going to be able to get a Neighbors. They're not going to be able to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. So, you know, I do think that, you know, trading that 17 pick would make sense.
Interesting. Yeah, Tony would agree with you. I think it's too rich for my blood. You know, I need some cheap labor coming in. I think it's a fair debate, though. It's a good one to have, to be sure. How do you feel they did just overall the week that was? Obviously, they wanted Ridley, were unable to retain him, but the guys they did bring back, how do you think they executed?
Yeah, I thought it was like a B, you know, week. I thought it was a solid week. It was something where, you know, and to me, and maybe it's not fair, but to me, that Arik Armstead signing really boosted it up. Like it went from a C minus to a B, somewhere around there in my mind. It was a significant boost. Without Arik Armstead, I didn't think they did enough at all. And that's funny to say, but he really does bring it all together, because their defensive line depth was probably the most concerning to me heading into free agency, the most concerning heading into the draft. And so now that they've addressed it, in my opinion, I feel like they can go another direction. The rest of the crop, you know, Darnell Savage is a guy who's incredibly athletic. I don't know exactly where he fits. I feel like he's a guy who should be closer to the line of scrimmage. And that means slot. You know, I think he can cover the slot potentially. You know, that means a down kind of guy. And I know that the way that Ryan Nielsen sort of plays his coverages, you know, he moves the safeties up kind of too high shell. And so that would be interesting to see where he fits. But I do like that signing to a degree, depending on how they use him. Ronald Darby, I love that signing, just because he's a perfect, you know, veteran guy, if healthy, can come in and sort of be solid. And that's sort of what you need on that other side. And then the rest of the guys, Ezra Cleveland, obviously, I liked the trade for him last year. I figured, you know, you're going to have to keep him. And then I thought that, you know, with given the guard, you know, how the guard market shaped out, they kind of lucked out in how they got that contract done. And yeah, so the rest of the guys, I thought that Gabe Davis was, you know, a solid signing. You know, I don't necessarily think I'm as high on him as a lot of other people are, but, you know, he's a guy that they needed. They needed somebody who can be big and sort of get down the field and can run when needed. And I think that he is that kind of guy, like a Zay Jones, but if he was healthy all the time and younger. So, you know, I do think they did a solid job in free agency this year. I think that they have more work to do, obviously, but it was a pretty okay job in terms of what they're able to get done.
The team brings in Mitch Morse to be the starting center for the team going into 2024. Mm-hmm. What kind of likelihood or unlikelihood do you put it at right now that Luke Fortner will be the team's starting center, like he be the plan at center again for the franchise at some point?
At some point, yeah, I could see it. And the thing is, I think they still do. I know it's really hard to believe because of the moves that they make. I think that they still do believe in Luke Fortner as a player that can get it done. And so what I think they're doing here is bringing in Mitch Morris. Mitch will start, in my opinion. I think it would be kind of shocking if he didn't at this point. So he will start, and then you'll have Luke Fortner sort of learning behind him. Now, what happens next year with Mitch's age and the contract and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be dependent on how Luke has sort of progressed and if they have to go another direction. But what I do think that the Mitch Morse signing does and their belief in Luke Fortner does is I think you can cross out Jackson Powers Johnson with Black permanent marker right now, in my opinion, at pick 17, or even if they trade down or whatever the case may be. I just don't think they're going to go center early on here, and I think that that's a good thing. I think that they don't have to have an elite center. They just need a solid one, and they have it.
All right, last one for you. Demetrius Harvey, Florida Times Union here with us. Demetrius, Cam Robinson's place, is it still somewhat in flux? I mean, they could still save a lot against the cap. Is it possible, if the right guy is available, that they draft his replacement early in the April NFL draft, or is Cam locked in at this point?
Yeah, I mean, Trent said that there was no ambiguity at all, you know, when I asked about Cam Robinson at the combine in terms of his placement on the team. So if you're going by what they're saying, he's locked in. He's a guy that's going to stay. I do think that there's a chance that he might have a restructured deal. You know, there's also the chance, and I think I heard you guys talking about this potential early this week or maybe last week, where they could take a tackle at 17 depending on who falls there. And if that's the case, to me, I think that you kind of should probably just roll the dice and figure out a way to trade Cam or do something, and then at least at that point you can use Walker Little, you can see what you got, because otherwise it just feels like a waste of resources. So yeah, I do think Cam's on the team. I think if he wasn't going to be on the team, they would have already made that move. There's no reason to cut him now. There's no sort of difference between pre-June 1st and post-June 1st or anything like that. So I think that he's on the team for now, and you know, as long as they don't draft a tackle, I don't see him moving from that position.
Oh, I agree with you. If they don't go that direction, I think it's somewhat still in play, but maybe not the most likely option. All right, Demetrius Harvey at Demetrius82 on Twitter or X. What are you working on these days? Anything in particular?
Yeah, you know, today I'm going to finally sit down and sort of go through all these cap hits and the salary cap and all that kind of stuff and break it down. Every signing that they made this offseason, get it all out there so that everybody can have one place to go to look at all their free agent signings this season and their cap hits and everything like that. But yeah, so those couple things, and I'll be at the owners' meetings next week, and we'll see what Doug has to say about the free agency class.
Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing that. And what cap, man? There's no salary cap. We've learned that, and it just got reemphasized last week. The Jags have a bottomless pit of available resources, apparently. Yeah. Demetrius, all the best, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. There he goes, Demetrius Harvey, Florida Times Union on that Jacksonville Jaguar beat. You want to react to anything you heard from Demetrius? You know the ways to do it, including 641-1010 on the All Pro Roofing phone lines. Let's come back. Let's, for what it's worth, go through the tip top of our bracket, which the tournament's getting ready to start in just over an hour from now. So we'll get to that. We've got a 3-round mock we want to look at as well from CBS Sports that has the Jags going heavy on the lines of scrimmage. We'll get into that and more coming your way in hour two of Jaguars Today, straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, save yourself getting blocked on social media. We know this is not Jaguar football related, okay? Like, you act like we're the only show in America that does this. Mm-hmm. Right? No matter what the subject matter, everybody's looking at their bracket today. And we're not going to go through all 63 picks, but we'll just go through the highlights, Tony, of our uninformed March Madness brackets. You've submitted your $10 to the pool.
I did, yeah.
We've all done that. Pockets, you as well.
Correct.
Pockets is operating off a photo of his bracket. He doesn't realize these copy machines work down the hall, but that's fine. You know what? Maybe I'm the old guy in the room. I like having that piece of paper in
mine's
my hand.
In the cloud, so mine's forever.
I got gotcha. You.
I did the same thing. This is a copy.
Yeah, I want to be able to scratch them out as I go and be able to tell by how much marker is on my sheet just how well I'm doing at any given time. All right, let's do this. Let's just go biggest upset in the first round. Who you've got in the Elite Eight and Final Four out of each region. And when we get to the four, we'll see who's going on. Tony, who you got in the East? That's the UConn region there.
The biggest upset I had in the first round was the 11 seed over BYU in that region.
Duquesne.
Yeah, Duquesne. But I didn't have any of those teams that
DeQuesna.
I had pulling the upset, getting to the Sweet 16. My Elite Eight, you said? I have UConn and Illinois, the 1 and 3
seed. And who's winning?
I have UConn.
Okay, very similar to me. I got Drake is my biggest winner, the 10 seed there, beating Washington
have
State.
Have to love the Drake.
Got to love the Drake.
Yeah.
But I'm really chalky beyond that in this region. I got UConn, Illinois as well. So the 1 versus the 3, and I've got UConn in the Final Four as well. Pockets, what about you?
I got UConn and Drake in my Elite Eight, and the biggest seed
I have it upset as Duquesne over BYU.
Okay, so you and Tony the same on the Duquesne side of things, and you got Drake making a run. So mm-hmm. I think making a run consists of winning at least three games, okay. Right? If you say a team's going to make a run, I think they got to make it to the Elite Eight. Making a run is not making it to the Sweet 16 to me.
It depends on the seeding.
Eh.
You know, like if you get a team that's a 14 seed, Sweet 16's a run.
I'm going to say you got to win the playing game then, because I still think you got to win three games. That's me. All right, Pockets, who you got out west?
Out west, I got Alabama and I got Arizona in my Elite Eight.
Okay.
And I got two upsets. I got the Grand Canyon and I got New Mexico. You know, Grand Canyon sounds big.
Yeah, pretty sure you took that straight off my sheet this morning. We've already determined Pockets was studying my bracket before we came on the air today. I also, Tony, have New Mexico and Grand Canyon both
Stop
winning
lying.
In the first round. Well, you should know. You looked at it. And so I have the 11 and the 12 seed winning there. I've got UNC and Arizona in a chalky Elite Eight, but I've got Zona, the 2 seed, advancing to the Final Four.
I do have Grand Canyon, but you got to be some kind of fool if you think New Mexico's beating Clemson.
Mm.
I mean, what are you talking about?
I am some kind of fool, apparently.
That's 6-11. My Elite Eight, I have the 1 and 3 seeds out of the bracket there. North Carolina and Baylor, with Baylor advancing from that one.
All right. In the South, let me see. Upsets in the South. I got James Madison, another 12 there. Winning. Oh, I think I did go big. Maybe it's in the next region. Let's see. I got James Madison as a 12 winning. That's really the only first round major. Although I do have Texas A&M, but that's a 9-8 game. I do have Texas A&M knocking off Houston to get to the Sweet 16, though.
Okay.
I've got Duke and Kentucky in a blue blood Elite 8 matchup there. Duke's the 4 seed, Kentucky the 3. And I've got Kentucky going to the Final Four. I had Florida winning one game.
Okay.
All right.
I also only had Florida winning one game. I had the 12 seed, James Madison as the upset there, and I had NC State as the 11 seed with the upset over Texas Tech. My Elite Eight, just the 1 and 2, chalky, Houston and Marquette, with Houston going to the Final Four.
Pockets.
I got Houston and Kentucky in my Elite Eight, and I got James Madison upsetting Wisconsin.
Okay, who's going to the Final Four?
I got
James Madison.
I got Houston in my Final
Houston,
Four
okay.
in that region.
All right, last one, Tony, the Midwest.
Let's see. The 12 seed McNeese over Gonzaga is my big upset there. I also have the 11 seed Oregon over South Carolina as the other upset. They're out of that region. The Elite Eight, 1 and 2 seeds, Purdue and Tennessee, with Purdue going to the Final Four.
Shut your mouth. I got Gonzaga in the Elite Eight.
There we go.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me, sir. I've got, what do I have for upset? This is a pretty upset-filled region for me. I got Samford, the 13, over Kansas in round one. I've got Oregon, the 11, over South Carolina. I've got Colorado State, the 10, over Texas in there, but I've got them all losing in the next round. I got Gonzaga and Creighton in the Elite Eight, Creighton in the Final Four. So since we all made it to the Final Four here, I got UConn versus Creighton for the championship, UConn Huskies. I'm probably the only one, I'm guessing. I haven't heard many people picking UConn. Am I the only one?
Everybody's picking UConn for the most part.
I don't think that's right. Am I the only one? Did you share my bracket with more people than yourself? I think I'm the only one who's got UConn winning it all. Tony, what do you got?
I got UConn over Purdue.
What?
Yes.
Tony, did you show my bracket to Tony?
No.
This is ridiculous. What about you, Pockets?
In that region, I actually got Creighton losing their first game to Akron.
Shut up.
So, and I got Kansas.
Oh, that's right.
You haven't done that.
You haven't done the whole region.
Yeah, yeah. I got Kansas beating South Carolina in the Elite Eight in that region. Kansas winning that region. Final Four: UConn beats Bama, Houston beats Kansas, and then I got UConn winning it all.
UConn winning it all. Clearly, again.
Well, at least between the two of y'all, it sounds like it's going to come down to
Kansas.
How far or not far Kansas goes as to which of you wins the bracket
and/or
contest.
Creighton.
Between the two of you, yeah.
Yeah, one of those, I guess. I don't need them to lose in the first round, although it would help tremendously if they did.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, there you go. We all have UConn winning it. Wow, how chalky can one or three people get?
Be like Shannon Sharp. You see what he did with his?
I did not.
He
all the higher seeds?
All 1 seeds for the men's and women's Final Four.
Yeah, that seems kind of silly in a year of great parity. But, you know, I've debated, would, you know, every year, throwing the extra $10 and just going higher seed every single game.
I mean, I got three ones and a three seed.
Yeah.
In the Final Four. It's last year was nuts.
Last year was extreme.
Yeah.
But
I don't expect it to be that every year, but it was fun while we had it for a year with all the Cinderellas advancing as far as they did.
I got a one, a two, and two threes.
Yeah.
Is what I ended up with. All right. So there you go. Your sojourn into something not Jaguar related. Oh my gosh. He'll drag us kicking and screaming back to the mock drafts when we return in a moment. Could the Jags beef up the lines of scrimmage not once, not twice, but three times out of the gate?
Whoa.
In next year's NFL draft, we'll tell you what Chris Trapasso projects them to do. Things fall a certain way. We'll take a look at that coming up next. Don't forget today's question of the day. If the Jags are going to add another wide receiver this offseason, maybe they don't. But if they do, will that player come via trade, via first-round pick, second-round pick, or that catch-all category, either any pick after the second round or another free agent signing, which you think is the most likely? Nearly 500 votes on that already. Still plenty of time for you to get in at MD_1010XL on the Twitter or X platform. You're listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tony, today would be a good day to be doing an all-sports show because I really would want to rip into that Shohei Ohtani story.
Ooh,
that is fascinating to me. But I think we exhausted our professional athletes.
Step outside,
the step outside bubble has definitely been filled with our brief look at our brackets. But also, I think we got our fill of professional athletes crossing over into the gambling realm last year.
Sure.
With all that stuff with Calvin Ridley. So it worked out fine with Calvin Ridley. And I'm sure the interpreter or the fall guy, however you want to describe him.
Whatever it turns out to
be. He'll be just fine. He goes, oh, so sorry. Didn't know it was illegal. Promise. Never do it again. Because generally guys who get in debt $4.5 million in gambling are able to stop it whenever they want.
Well,
right?
That's how that works.
Just no problem. I'll just push away from the table and I'm full. That'll be good. All right. like I said, today would be a great day for that. All right. Let's go around. There's plenty happening outside of Jaguar land in the National Football League. Tony's going to tell you about it right now.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Indianapolis Colts have signed center Danny Pinter. The Cleveland Browns signed running back Deontay Foreman, along with quarterbacks Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston on Wednesday. Dallas has signed running back Rico Dowdle. New York Jets right tackle Morgan Moses, who the Jets acquired in a trade last week, informed reporters this week that he had surgery 6 weeks ago to repair a torn pectoral muscle that he played through last year in Baltimore. Authorities in Hillsborough County, where Tampa and St. Pete are here in Florida, have issued an arrest warrant for Detroit Lions cornerback Cameron Sutton for alleged domestic battery by strangulation, and the NFL Competition Committee will be introducing rule proposals for the owners' meeting next week that will include a change to the NFL's kickoff rules from the one currently being used to the one that will resemble the alignment used by the XFL, which would have the 10 defensive players outside of the kicker lined up downfield, unable to move until the kick is fielded. There will also be a rule change that would prohibit the hip drop tackle. The NFLPA released a statement yesterday opposing that rule proposal. We'll see what the owners have to say about it next week.
Yeah, that Sutton deal is interesting. They said they've been looking for him for, I think, 2 weeks, something like that. They've had a warrant out for him. So we'll see how that goes. Of course, Caleb Williams, who was working out here with 6 points Jacksonville for a little bit of time. He was in here during the players or in Jacksonville during the players last week, had his pro day workout yesterday. And I get it. Like, you know, PFT tries to parse every word everyone says about every single thing. I go down that road myself sometimes, but you know, Caleb Williams is asked, is it his full expectation he'll be the first overall pick to Chicago? What do you say to that? You know, like, if you go, absolutely, I fully expect it, then, oh, you arrogant so-and-so. Right. You know, you know, so he's like, hey, that's a good question. I wouldn't say my full expectation. Obviously, things can happen. Things can change. It's around, you know, 33 days away. A lot can change. You take it day by day, and you handle and control what you can control. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you want him to say? The guy had a, by all accounts, you know, the thing about him, I think there's a question, what kind of makeup does he have?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, is he too emotional to be a leader? You know, you see him crying with his mom and things like that. And I'm like, I don't know the guy, right? Yeah. People cry sometimes out of joy or whatever. And it's not the end of the world. You can still be a good leader of men. And, you know, but there's this bit of mystery around him because he's not an easy guy, I guess, to get to know, perhaps.
No, yeah.
Right? But it seems like what we're hearing about him is that he's everything you'd want, right? Like, he's an intelligent guy. His teammates love him. Although he apparently threw the ball effortlessly yesterday. I mean, it's obvious at this point the Chicago Bears are all in. I would be stunned beyond belief if they went with any quarterback over Caleb Williams at this point.
I would, too.
Yeah. I just don't see the red flag. Like even if there's a small one, I don't see the beating, flashing light going off going, uh-oh. I'm not saying he's a guaranteed hit.
Yeah.
We just saw that whole Trevor Lawrence class of quarterbacks get jettisoned off with the exception of Trevor Lawrence, but
yeah,
he's as safe a bet in this class, you know, as anybody.
As much today as at any time, right? Like, the shiny object is the one that everyone wants to look at, right? And so the attention spans of people are so small at times that a player like Caleb Williams, that for 2.5 years now has been talked about, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's going to be the number one pick in the, like, that kind of player. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. to some degree is dealing with that right now too. Everyone's known he's going to be the first receiver taken in the draft for 2 years now, right? So now that we're a month away from the draft, people are like, you know, I don't know if that's how I would feel about it. It's like, we all know how you feel about it. You felt about it the same way you do today 2 years ago. And you're getting caught up in whatever the moment is, mm-hmm, of maybe that's not how it's going to work. We saw it happen in Jacksonville when they were in position to get Trevor Lawrence. And there were people that were saying maybe it shouldn't be Trevor at number
maybe
one.
It should be Mac Jones. Like, we heard, and don't
right.
say that.
Like, what are you, nuts?
We get it. Not everyone was saying this. But we had people at least asking the question,
yeah,
nationally about Zach Wilson, locally about Mac Jones and Justin Fields.
Yeah, it was the same thing with Joey Bosa. Bosa was that guy in that draft for 2 years, and then the draft was coming, and people were like, I don't know. And it's like,
yeah,
come on, man. He's going to be a top 4 or 5 pick in the draft. Everyone knows it, right? And I'm sure, like, people within league circles are watching all that happen going, yeah, he's not going to go top 5. What are you, nuts? Right? I think that's how people inside league circles likely feel about Caleb and likely feel about Marvin Harrison Jr., that y'all can say whatever you want to say.
I'm sure that Washington is happy for anybody who wants to question Caleb Williams,
yes,
right now. Right?
Yeah, they would love
RG3.
It. Yeah.
Like, could it be more transparent?
And it's not that you feel bad getting Drake May, but it's not the same prize that Caleb Williams appears to be.
No. No, not yeah. right. Or Drake May or Jaden Daniels for right now, right? And again,
yeah,
doesn't mean it'll work out that way. This is as close to a mortal lock unless something comes out about Caleb Williams between now
absolutely.
And the NFL draft,
yeah,
as you're going to get. All right, let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Chris has been hanging on patiently. Chris, we appreciate it. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, guys. I got a question and a thought. So talking about Harrison Jr., do you all agree that he's the best wide receiver in the group?
I agree that that's the consensus, and likely if forced to choose one. Like, I haven't spent a lot of time breaking down his film because I don't expect him to be anywhere near available when the Jaguars select. But, yes, I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best of a good group.
Okay, so whoever drafts him, pretty much he will be on the – rookie minimum, the contract.
Yeah,
deal is.
It'll be a slotted deal, yeah, based on, like, if he goes to Arizona, he'll get a
he'll know
bit
what
of
kind
a
of money he's getting the moment
the
his name gets
the fourth round pick last
yeah.
year. Yes.
So it won't be like if we had to get Higgins and we had to pay him obscene money. It'd be less than
correct.
That.
Correct.
Okay. So here's my thought. So why didn't the Jaguars make some type of splash and trade our 17th pick and maybe give that team a second or a third for next year, or even both second and thirds, and make a splash and pay Harrison Jr. the minimum for the next 3 years and have your wide receiver room set for a very long time, release Zay Jones, and have that extra money to go out and sign any type of free agent. Because right after training camp, when teams start releasing players, we could probably find another player, you know, to fill our needs.
Well, okay, for any number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start with, would they do that? Sure, if the price is right. All right, flip it around. You're the team at the top. You want to make a splat. Why would you value that package of assets over the chance to do the exact same thing you're talking about? Pay Marvin Harrison Jr. on a cost-controlled contract for the next 4 years, 5 years with the fifth-year option. Second and third-round pick is going to get you nowhere near high enough to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just not. Here's the thing. Arizona's going to be sitting there, and they're going to be – assuming it goes quarterback, 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 okay? They're the team you got to talk to now. If you want to get ahead of the Giants, now the Chargers are sitting there at five, right? So theoretically you could deal with the Chargers, but some other team could be dealing with the Cardinals. So if you want to make sure you get the fourth quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, let's say it is, Minnesota's got a couple of first-round picks. Those alone are not enough to get up there.
Yeah.
What they're going to get for moving out of the fourth spot won't be – from somebody overpaying to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Coming from the mid-teens, it's going to come from somebody paying overpaying to come up and get a quarterback, and the compensation is going to be so far. I mean, if we could send a second and third next year and move up from 17 and get the best receiver in the draft and lock him into a rookie deal, sure. Mm-hmm. So would about five other teams right there in the middle of the draft do the exact same thing.
Yeah, looking at, and again, these aren't numbers that are written in stone, but if you look at a draft value chart, right, so you see at least a number to give you an idea of what it's going to cost to move around to different places in the draft. If that's the only way you use the tool, I think it's an effective way to use it. For the Jags, if they gave up their second and third round picks in this year's draft, along with the first round pick, obviously, at 17, to move, right, if they gave up all that, they could probably, on the value alone, get to eight, right?
If they gave up, what is it they're giving up?
They're giving up 1, 2, and 3 this year.
This their first three picks this year.
This year. That would get them to eight in the draft, which would probably be 4 or 5 picks later than you need to be to get Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Like, you're talking about likely having to get to 4.
Because because the Chargers just let go of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Right.
You think if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, they're not going to be a strong contender to grab him with that pick?
You would need to make up another 300 points on the chart, which every pick they had remaining in the draft wouldn't cover that 300 points.
Right, so your whole draft is not enough to get you to 4.
You would have to give up next year's second, probably on top of that. You'd probably have to give 1, 2, 3 next year's second to get from where they're at to maybe in the top five.
Maybe.
Right. If a team's even willing to move out of that spot.
And then you have to decide, all right, is the value of all those players who are also under cost-controlled contracts, that's a couple of second-round picks you're giving up there, right, that are going to be locked in, that may be starter-level players for you. Balky's not going to draft well. Well, if that's the feeling, like, just throw up your hands and bury your head in the sand. I mean, because, you know what I mean? Like, he's the one making the picks. So, if that's your philosophy, well, then by that philosophy, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to bust too because Balky would be selecting him, right?
And if you look at, say, more in the range of they're trying to move up 2, 3 spots, right, there's a guy that's falling into that kind of range. What they would have to likely give up if they were going to make that jump to move up 3 spots, it's probably the third round compensatory pick this year, right? That's what they'd have to give.
That's
to get
just
that value.
To get a guy who may fall to you anyway.
Right.
Right. By the way, Anthony Richardson, 4 years, call it $34 million. All right. So whoever goes fourth this year is going to make about $35, $36 million bucks over the course of a 4-year deal. You compare that to, you know, that's less than 2 years of Brandon Ayuk money. It may be 1 year of Justin Jefferson money when he gets his new deal, you know. But then again, Marvin Harrison Jr., better be great right away, you know. Guess he can always fall back on the car wash business. His dad's got a pretty lucrative one from what I understand up there. I wouldn't say a bad thing about it. Let's look at this mock real quickly here, Tony. By the way, from Chris Trapasso over at CBS.
Yeah.
13 receivers in the first two rounds in this mock, okay? The Jags not selecting any of them here. Fautanu. I'm getting it.
I still had to
pause myself when I say Troy Fautanu, the lineman from Washington, is the Jags selection in this. I had him in my top five.
That was
yesterday. Said he could play all five offensive line positions, will bolster a protective unit in front of Trevor Lawrence as he enters a pivotal year four. And he's a look, he competes to start at a number of spots this year. He is a starting tackle for you likely next year, unless you fall into a you know, Walker Little plays great, whatever. I mean, there he's put it this way. He can start at a bunch of spots for you. And while you've locked down your left guard position, Brandon Scherff's only here for one more year, it looks like. Maybe that turns into Cooper Hodges. Maybe it doesn't. So anyway, got him going with a big offensive lineman in the first round. Second round, Tony, the Jags go with Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle out of Florida State, who was on a lot of people's radar prior to the Eric Armstead signing. They're still looking at defensive tackles when they're going to some of these pro days. So they go big again here and beef up that front four on defense. And then in the third round, again, this is just a projection, they go Mason McCormick, the interior offensive lineman from South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing they're going to draft two linemen with their first three picks this year, offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But if you like the idea of building through the trenches, it's about as good a mock as you're going to find, right? Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do at corner? Well, you're going to draft a corner in the fourth or fifth round, right? Yeah. And maybe a couple of them with those remaining picks. And can you go to bat with what you've got at wide receiver? Yeah. I mean, is it ideal? Clearly, they wanted a top of the depth chart guy. And again, you can't have everything. I don't expect it to go O-line, D-line, O-line like that. But, you know, wouldn't hate it either. I would love the two offensive linemen. You know, coming in here, this is more of a long-term play for this football team. But at that point, what do you do? Is Cam Robinson part of your team? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you do at that point trade future assets, although it's harder then because teams, you know, like if you're San Francisco and you're trading Brandon Ayuk, you want something back that can help replace him now. Yeah. You don't want to have to wait a year and things like that. But the Jags do have the ability with the Cam Robinson contract to create cap space if they need to.
Absolutely.
Love for them to need to because they've got some targets of opportunity out there. But anyway, this mock had him going offensive line, defensive line, and then back to the offensive line. Brian Thomas was on the board, by the way, for this one. Had him going 20th. And you're seeing that now. After Adunze comes off the board, you're seeing a bit of a hole in these mock drafts where Thomas projected to be the fourth receiver taken ahead of Adonai Mitchell. They're both going somewhere in the 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And it is of this belief that, okay, there are three off the board. There's still another 10 or 11 that are draftable by the end of round two. We're going to spend that second round pick. Yep. There are X amount of these massive bodies that can protect your quarterback or get after your quarterback. Get them while the getting's good. And that may be the actual way things play out as teams prioritize the rare body type over the athletic freak wide receiver because there are just so many of those guys right now. I did see Ricky Pearsall in this one go 63. I mentioned that because I saw a mock. Was it Ryan Wilson? It was somebody in the last couple days that had him going to the Chiefs at 32. And we found out today Trent Baalke had planned on being in Gainesville to watch the Gator Pro Day, found out that Ricky Pearsall would not be working out today and decided he didn't need to be there personally. So obviously he's got some interest in looking at this. Whatever tier you want to put Pearsall in, he's not in that let's consider him with the 17th pick tier. I don't think anybody is making that case right now. So this would be more of a either a trade down scenario for the Jags or a second round scenario, which is both very possible. So second round, first round, trade, third round or later, still a free agent signing. Where do you go in terms of what you project the Jags will do if they do add another wide receiver to the mix? We'll take a look at the Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day when we return in a moment. Mike Dempsey, Dylan Denmark, Tony Smith here with you. This is Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Pockets, Bay Street Grill. Huh?
Bay Street Sports Grill.
Bay Street Sports Grill. I thought sports was understood.
Uh-huh.
No? Bay Street
it's
Sports
in the
Grill. That's where XL Primetime is holding court.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say court, no better day to hold court. If you are on in the afternoon on the Thursday and Friday, of the NCAA tournament, all you got to do is do a show from any bar, and you got a show right
there. Yeah,
that's
there. Fun. Yeah.
That is a blast, man. It is absolutely a blast. Some of the best memories I've got of sports radio were doing live shows, you know, it came down to the wire. And somebody hits, I remember, what was the year? Drake and somebody else were the big, like the 12 seeds everybody was betting on the 1 year. And they had like an overtime game. Somebody won on like a 30-foot three-pointer. Oh, it was spectacular. Love that kind of stuff. I will care for as long as my bracket allows me to care. And I really don't care who wins the national championship. No. But
I honestly don't remember who won it last year.
It was UConn.
Okay.
I thought Pocket 12 picked UConn.
I didn't think it was.
You might have a clue.
I did not know.
Who won it last year. Yeah. It was UConn.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Did they beat San Diego State in the championship?
I know FAU and Miami lost in the Final Four, but I don't remember who played
in it. I think
San
Diego State might have been the one. Were they like a 15, right, that made it all the way there? I remember when Georgetown beat Princeton by a point back, I guess it was the early 90s, maybe the late 80s even, and how close that was. I always thought a 16 would win eventually, but now it's like, man, 15s are becoming almost commonplace and craziness. The two 16s have won now, so enjoy your NCAA tournament, and make sure, like, if you haven't already, head on over to 1010XL.com and get in the bracket challenge. It locks up here in a few minutes. So today we've got the Chad and Sandy Real Estate Question of the Day out there for you. And here's my question of the day. Why did whatever Aussie Jaguar mailed here get sent back? Like, he asked where he should send it. He had a package. I have no idea what's in it. So I said, send it to the station. And it got returned. So now it's coming to the house. Well, whatever's in there, it's mine now. I don't know if it was for me or for more people beyond that, but certainly you'll never see it now, whatever it is. If it gets it, never arrived, as a matter of fact, Craig. But hope you're doing well down there. Down under, Aussie Jag, and all the rest of you out there, we appreciate you being in listener land today. And the ones, about 500 of you have weighed in on today's poll question. If the Jaguars are going to add another wide receiver this offseason, how do you think they'll acquire him? Be a trade, first-round pick, second-round pick, or will it be a later pick or a lesser free agent signing? Let's discuss with a 10-10 take.
10-10.
10-10 take.
Now, Mike Dempsey's 10-10 take, brought to you by Leonard Truck Accessories.
This is more of a process of elimination kind of thing here. Trade, I don't think is super likely, right? I think they're you can't write it off because they've been interested.
Sure.
And maybe something gets done in the next 30 days or so with San Francisco. Love to think it would. Demetrius is on your side. Demetrius Harvey said he'd give the pick and sign Ayuk. You know, pick swap in the first round and maybe send them back a fourth, something like that. If they, you know, it's certainly better than just the 17th straight up. But trade is one of the options. First-round pick is one of the options. I think the problem with this, even though our wish list yesterday, we had Brian Thomas at the top of the list, the problem for me is hard to know if Brian Thomas is going to be there. If not, are there any other receivers that the Jags would value? Maybe Adonai Mitchell, right? Would they value him as high as that selection? And if we're presuming, you know, maybe they trade back, but we don't know that. It could just be a case where they think, you know what, they're going to be a half dozen receivers available at 48 that we'd be happy with. We've got to go a different direction here because that is such a deep position in the draft. The later pick or free agent, that's always possible, right? Absolutely. So I think those are the two options. Second round pick, later pick or free agent. The Ricky Pearsall non-visit to Gainesville because he wasn't working. I don't want that to oversway me, but I do think that this team wants a guy that's going to immediately come in and be top three in the rotation, right? Yeah. And obviously, they wanted a top of the depth chart guy because they tried to bring Ridley back even after the Gabe Davis signing. So I'm going to say they don't go any further than the 48th pick to address it. I will say second-round pick is the most likely, but I think if it's not second-round pick, for me at the moment, later pick or free agent is the most likely category. Where are you at?
Probably similar place for me at this point in time. And I've expressed that, yeah, I would make the trade for Ayuk. I would. I don't think the team's going to make that trade for Ayuk. I don't think the team's going to make a trade for T. Higgins. And as I've said since the Higgins thing became a thing, I don't think Cincinnati's in any hurry to trade him, right? Unless you're willing to offer the 17th pick, why wouldn't they just say, all right, we'll play another year with Chase and Higgins, and then he'll be a free agent next year. That's a shame, right? And we'll get the third-round compensatory coming back at the end of that as well. Like, I think that's how Cincinnati is likely to play it, and I don't think the Jags are. If they're not going to trade 17 for Ayuk, they're not going to trade 17 for Higgins.
See, do you think Higgins, like, I get the raw numbers. Ayuk put up more yardage. Like, Higgins was hurt last year as well.
Yeah.
I think that it's easier to view Ayuk as the number one receiver. I'm not saying he's the same as, like, you got CMC who's got to get the ball. Debo's an offensive weapon. When I think of receiving pecking order in Cincinnati, Chase is clearly one, right? And I don't think that with San Francisco. I don't think there's much difference between them in terms of my interest level in locking up either guy here if we could get a hold of one for the long term. I think Ayuk, a little bit better of a route runner. T. Higgins is a bigger body. They're both, you know, red zone threats. That Ayuk averaged a lot of yards per catch last year. I'd love either one of these guys.
I would too.
I just put it this way. There's not a big gap. Maybe I'd slightly prefer Ayuk, but not enough to like, if the compensation was cheap, I'd take whichever one I could get cheaper. Honestly, I like them both that much. I do.
But I don't think the Jags are going to be able to pull off a trade.
No, I'm just
for
saying, like,
those guys.
In general terms, because you've heard, you know, through the reporting of Mia, that they've actually kind of a little kick in the tires on the Ayuk thing. I don't know if it ever progressed that way with T.
Sure.
Higgins. And maybe it's because the circumstances are slightly different, and Ayuk seems more available right now.
Yeah, San Francisco seems more ready to move on, right, from the potential of having to. San Francisco is not going to pay Ayuk that deal. I don't think that's the way that situation is going to end. I don't think Cincinnati's going to do it either, but they're happy to play with them for one more year unless you're going to give them the offer that puts them. I think San Francisco has no problem, you know, playing Ayuk for another year opposite Debo Samuel, but I'd agree with you. Second round
got 42.7. Yeah. First round got 32.9. Then it's later pick or free agent at 14%. 10% say it'll still be trade if the Jaguars are going to acquire
back, DJ Chark,
another wide receiver this offseason. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd take DJ Chark on this depth chart.
I would too.
For like $2 million, you know.
What did he get last year?
I know he got, when he went the 1 year deal with Detroit, I felt like he got like $10 million. I want to say it was in the single digit millions last year.
$5 million this year.
Okay. Yeah, I'd pay him two. I pay him two or three. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's going to get much more than that.
Probably not.
Out there in free agency. You know, would I prefer an Ayuk or T. Higgins? Obviously. But you can't just pick those guys up for a few million bucks either. You know, so I could be one of those. Hey, we know what the board looks like. We'll pivot if we don't get what we want in those first couple of rounds, if things don't fall, or maybe we get about, like, we take a corner in round one, and all of a sudden this pass rusher is there in round two that we never expected to be there, you know, and you just, by the time you get around to your third round late pick, that receiver market doesn't look as good. All right, with that, you can continue to vote. Over 520 of you have so far. Let's say hello to XL Primetime. Bay Street Sports Grill with Matt Hayes and the group holding court down there. Matt, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? 119 Bay Street. Come on down.
Who's your big your biggest upset pick you got going today?
A 12 over 5. How about that?
That's it? Nothing more than a 12
over
5.
6.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got Kansas losing to Samford. They're a 13. I don't think I took any 14s in this whole thing. So great 2 days of sports, though, man. And this is the beauty of it, Matt. I used to be into college basketball. Used to watch a tremendous amount. I didn't know better with my bracket then than I do now. And I still pretty much enjoy the tournament just as much, regardless of how much I know about these individual teams.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's part of the beauty of this tournament is the underdog. And right now the big power conferences are trying to expand the tournament and minimize the impact of these little guys, which I think would be a tragically bad mistake. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to talk tournament. We're going to talk Jags. Special today, Mike. 10-foot-long chili dog and fries. The 10-10 special here at Bay Street Sports Grill for $10.
$10. Chili dog and fries.
A foot long chili dog.
Yeah, get that
wrong.
A foot
right,
long
foot-long
chili dog
with
and
fries. Not 10 feet. A foot long. Awesome. $10. Foot long chili dog and fries.
Wow, this is a hell of a deal. I'm heading there now.
Yes,
right, Matt. Have a great show. Plenty to
for
talk
you and 10
about.
Of your friends.
Hope you get plenty of drama while you're on the air today, and just enjoy your time out there, bud.
All right, fellas, thanks.
All right, buddy, there you go. Bay Street Sports Grill. No better time to be a sports bar than these next couple
no
of days.
No doubt.
Still the best. I still like the Ryder Cup the best, but it doesn't happen every year.
No.
These are the most dependable 2 days in sports when it comes to providing drama every year. What about Game 7? There's no guarantee you're getting a Game 7 in any sport,
no.
ever. You get the first round of the NCAA tournament, and you get generally chaos to some degree every single year. And I can't wait. All right. Thanks to Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union. Is it Thursday already? We got McManus tomorrow?
We do.
Tommy Mack back in studio with the crew. Oh, he's got plenty of opinions all welled up from the week that was. So all of you out there, we appreciate you listening. If you haven't voted yet, you can still vote in our Jaguars Today, Chad and Sandy Real Estate Question of the Day poll. Just go to @MD_1010XL on Twitter. For Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Stick around for XL Primetime. Good luck with your brackets. Little tip for you. UConn might do something in this tournament this year. So
maybe.
We've been told. So we've all got them winning the championship because we're that boring. We'll find out how things hold up throughout the course of the day. Have a great one, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 10 to noon here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.